In the book of James, this wonderful book has one verse that I'm going to read to you this morning to begin our thoughts. We've been talking about love. We've started off the month talking about the Lord loving us and how we ought to love Him. And in some of the Wednesday evenings, Sunday evenings, I've emphasized our loving one another and loving the Word of God. I brought the message on. And then last Wednesday night, God met with us about the sad accounts in the Word of God where the Lord said in the last days that the love of many will wax cold. I don't want to be part of that many. I want my love to stay on fire for Jesus. Don't you say amen. And then in Revelation, where it talks about the church that is depicted there in Laodicean church, representing us in this church age, that they were lukewarm. They were neither hot nor cold. And so I want to have a hot love for Him. Don't want to be lukewarm. I want to be on fire all the way. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. Now, look at the verse I want to show you this morning in the book of James, chapter 2, verse number 8. And I know God, I'm not going to say, I believe God controlled everything in regard to the division of books. God brought all the books of the Bible together. He used 40 different writers, but the Holy Ghost of God is the author of the Bible. And it was not until about the year 1200 or so that they divided the Bible up into verses and chapters. It makes it easier for us to find. But sometimes it just catches my attention. Verse number 8, the 8 in the Bible, and Bible numerology, is the number of new beginning, a fresh start, a new beginning. And the number 2 in the Bible is the number of testimony. It says between 2 or 3 witnesses, it's the number of testimony. And so verse 8 would have something to say about our testimony as we begin our new life in Christ. And notice what it says in verse number 8. If you fulfill the royal law according to the Scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. I'm interested in how he described what our Lord said was the great commandment. They asked him one time, what is the great commandment? And he said, it is this, you love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul. And then he said, and the second's likened to it, you're to love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang all the law and prophet. In other words, he's saying you sum up all of it in this thought. You're to love God and you're to love others. That's his thought to us. And I want to preach to you for just a few minutes on the royal love, the royal law of love. Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God to help me. God, give me clearness of thought. I pray, God, for the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God. Lord, nothing will take place in this building this morning of eternal consequence without the Holy Ghost of God empowering the Word of God. Lord, use me for your glory. Thank you for the wonderful singing. Thank you for Brother Ronnie. Thank you for Amanda, the choir, the congregational singing. Lord, we've worshiped you in music. And I pray now the Holy Ghost of God to make it real. Lord, I thank you that I'm able to bow before you and confess that there's no good thing in me. But God, you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I'm able to ask or to think. And God, you called me, you anointed me. God, I pray you'd use me. Lord, that somebody's life might be changed forever. Somebody might come to know Christ in the building or in the media audience. And that God's people would be helped. Some may be cold and indifferent. Their love is lukewarm. And they've got a distance from you. As you said in the book of Revelation, maybe they've even left their first love, loving you like they ought to. And I pray, God, you stir their heart right now, and I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to say to you in the first place, this royal law of love, it means it's the king. It's kind of like the book of the Song of Solomon. The book of the Song of Solomon means it is a song of songs. Solomon wrote over 1,000 songs, but this was the greatest song. The love relationship between Christ and the church is pictured in the book of the Song of Solomon. And of all the law, this is the royal law of love. In the first place, I want to say to you that he is the executor of the law. He gave this law. law. He gave the law to Moses. It's not Moses' law. It's not the Old Testament prophet's law. But the law contained in the Word of God is the law of God. And there are over 600 and something laws in the Bible relating to Christians and our Christian life. But in all of those laws, he said this, they're all summed up and they're all tied in one bundle in this thought, you're to love the Lord with all of your heart and you're to love your neighbor as yourself. He gave this law. He presented the law. All the laws he gave, commandments, statutes, everything else that he gave. This is the supreme law. This is the royalty of law, that you love the Lord and that you love your neighbor as yourself. He decreed that law. And it's like the law of the Mede and Persian. He's never rescinded it. You're still to love him with all of your heart, mind, and soul. In 2024, regardless of what's going on in our political world or in our financial world or in our family world, whatever's going on in health-wise, we're still to love him supremely and love our neighbor as ourselves, to love people and to show that love to Christ. He not only did that, but he demonstrated it in his life. And now he demands it. This is not a suggestion. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt love thy neighbors. This is a command. This is not a suggestion. It is a command. It is a holy command from a holy God that we love him with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and that we love our neighbor as ourselves. But not only did our Lord, is he the executor of the Lord, but he was the great example of that love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And Jesus loved us so much that he came and gave his life for us. He loved us and died for us. The Bible said Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And so he exemplified that love when he was in this world. He was our great example of loving. He was loving us when he was born in a body, a human body, stepping down out of glory, being deity, and he remained deity, but he clothed himself in a human body. In the Old Testament, he describes himself as a worm. In other words, for Jesus Christ, who had been eternity past with God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and he was daily the Father's delight, for him to go get in a human body was the equivalent of me and you being turned into some little lowly worm, and still have all our consciousness, still know who we were, still know everything. But that's what it was like for him to be in a human body. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death because he loved us. The song that Brother Ronnie just sang, it said so many things along that same line, that he did all of that for us. He was our example of that love. The Bible says this about him, and I never thought about it until I was studying over this. This is his royal law. And quite often in explaining, like in the book of Galatians, how that he can be just and the justifier, and he's got all the law of God and we've broken all the law of God and yet we get to go to heaven. How can he do that? How can he be just and the justifier at the same time? How can he justify us just as if we'd never sinned and remain holy without any accusation about partiality? It was this. Christ came and fulfilled all of the law. And he obeyed the law perfectly. Not one time did he ever break any of the commandments of his Father. He lived a sinless life. And when he died a sinless death. And the Bible said the wages of sin is death. But he didn't have any sin. Why did he die? He died for this reason. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He fulfilled all of God's just demands, and then he paid the penalty of our breaking all of God's command. And so we're justified because God did not ignore my sin. He didn't sweep my sin under the rug, nor yours. He executed the judgment on my sin. When he wore my crown, he paid the sin debt that I owed. He died my death. He died your death, and he's paid it. And my dear friend, he paid it full and free. Absolutely free this morning. Not one accusation in heaven against a child of God who's been washed in the blood of the Lord. He was our example. But not only that, he gives us a great explanation of it. Look with me, please, in all of this I've been doing about love. I have not read this passage. I made reference to it. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I want to take time to read this to us this morning, because here is his explanation through the Apostle Paul of love. Notice what it said: though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Charity means love, but it's specific in the Greek text. It is love, selfless love. It is love given without expecting anything in return. He loved us without expecting us to love him back. I'm glad we do. I'm glad we can love him because he loved us. But he paid that sin debt. And he loved even those in the sound of my voice who have rejected him over and over again. And even when you die without Christ and you're in hell for all eternity, know this: you stepped over the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he loved you so much, he died for you. He paid your sin debt. It's love that gives itself away. And he said, if I don't have that kind of love, that's that supernatural love, that's the Holy Ghost love, that I'm as a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. I mean, love is the main thing. Love is what he's looking for. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, love, it profiteth me nothing. If you don't have the right motive for doing what you do for the Lord, which is to love him, and you love and what you do for people because you love them in Christ's place, if you don't have the right motive, he said, all of that profits me nothing. It's not counted as a reward to me for my faithfulness. Verse 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. It's not a prideful thing. We're very humble that God loved us, and we serve him with humbleness. Verse 5, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. If you love him, you'll rejoice in truth. It beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. I wrote in the, just above that in my Bible, love never quits. We endure all things. If you love him, you'll love him where people like you or they don't like you. If you love him, you'll serve him whether you see results or not. If you love him, you'll be faithful in good times and bad times, even unto death. I refer to Job so often because I marvel at him, the grace of God that was on him. Having lost all of his children, lost all of his livelihood, and lost his health, he made this last statement: though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Loving him. Love doesn't quit. Look at verse 9. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, and stood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now we know in part, but then shall we know even as we know. Listen to this. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, which is love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Did you know that love is greater than faith? Did you know that? It's greater than faith. It's greater than hope. And that hope is not the hope with a question mark. That is a blessed hope, like we know for sure he's coming back. But your love is greater than that. And if God was looking at you this morning, you want to see your faith, want to see that you trust him, you believe him, you have hope in him, you have love. But in his evaluation, not mine, the greatest of all those three is love. How important is it? Some people say, well, you know, it's just mushy-mushy. No, I'm not talking about that kind of love. I'm talking about love that endures. I'm talking about love that loves truth, that does not love evil and iniquity. I'm talking about love like God loves, loves righteousness and love people have a desire to see them come to know Christ. He gives us an explanation of it in 1 Corinthians 13. But then he demands of us to exhibit that love. Here in the book of James, notice back in James chapter 2 and verse number 4, and listen to what he said. Well, In James, look down at chapter 2 and notice what he says about this matter of love. He said, you and I who love him, look at verse 14, I'm sorry, not 4, 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say, I have faith? Now you say, Brother Billy, you're talking about love. In the Bible, love and faith are twins. They go together just about all the way through. And James is saying, if you love him, you will show faith. And if you have faith, you'll show love. And he says this, you say, I have faith and have not works. Can faith save him? That means if you have if you say I've got faith, but it hadn't changed you, hadn't made a difference in you, hadn't given you the love of Christ. Notice verse 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith without works is dead. He's saying that he demands that you exhibit love. Because when you get saved, the Holy Ghost of God shines abroad in your heart the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just something we do, it's something we become. You see, faith in Christ produces love. And if you don't have love, that means your faith is not genuine. If you don't have those works that God's appointed for us, like loving people and loving Him, then you've never been born again. Do you love the Lord? Do you love the Bible? Do you love the people of God? Do you love the house of God? Do you love to worship? Well, he said, if you got genuine faith, you'll do that. You'll have that. And he says in the book of 1 John, let me share with you quickly over there, 1 John, we're right here at it. Would you turn over to 1 John and look in chapter 3? Let me read verse 15 and following. He said this, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If a man love the world, the love of God is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father. And he said, the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, what is his will? What is his will that we should do? It is to love one another. We're to love one another. Notice, let me just skip over and look at it. Notice what it said in verse 22, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus Christ, he is the Antichrist that denieth the Father. Whoso denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father. And thank God we abide in him and we have that promise that we're in him, and thank God for what he's doing in us. Drop down, if you will, please, to the third verse. If you're abiding in him, what do you do and how do you live? In chapter 3, look in verse 15, and listen to what it said. Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and what to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and sheddeth up the bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. If you're abiding in him, if you've been saved, you have that love inside of you. And my dear friend, he expects us to live that way and show that, to love. I want to say I'm so thankful. Brother Ronnie told me as we talked about the church, he said the people just welcomed him, and it was so he felt the love of Christ here. If we lose everything else, we're not going to leave the Bible. We're going to stay with the Bible. We're going to stay with the old-time truth, the King James Bible. I like it. I can read it. I'm not very intelligent. I don't read well, but I've lived enough, learned enough to know how to live for God. But I do know this. If we ever lose the anointing of God and the love that we have for the Lord Jesus Christ and for others, we're not a church any longer. That's what he wants us to exhibit. By this men know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. I want to just finish it up like this. Not only is he the executor of the law, he was the example of the law. And he explained the law in 1 Corinthians. And then he expects us to exemplify the law. But he is also, there is an examination of that love. The Bible says that we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There's only one foundation, that foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever you've done in your Christian life, whether it was wood, hay, or stubble, or gold, silver, precious stone, it'll be tried with fire and it'll be burned up. If he's going to demand of us to love, and if he says that's the royal love, then the royal law, then it would stand to reason to me that what he's talking about in that day, the gold, the silver, the precious stones, of those things that we've done because we loved him and because we loved others. And only what I've done for you or for Christ and loving people, that's all, that I believe that's what we'll have to answer for, primarily at the judgment seat of Christ. Because if I love him, I want to keep his commandments. He said this, if you love me, you'll keep my commandment. If I love him, I want to share the gospel. If I love him, I'll be faithful. If I love him, I don't want to do anything to offend him. I want to keep myself clean and pure as I can through the work of the Holy Ghost of God. But you're going to have to answer at the judgment seat for whether you love the Lord or not, and whether you loved people or not. And what it, you may be saved, but your love may have gotten cold. You may be lukewarm. And the Bible says that we'll get to go to heaven, but it'll be such as by fire. Because everything we've done that we did not do because we love the Lord or because we love people is going to be burned up at the judgment seat, forever gone. I want you to know this. He loves you and is not willing that any should perish. He wants you to be saved. My dear friend, he loved you before you knew him. He loved you before the foundation of the world. And he gave his son that you might have everlasting life. And I'm sure glad he saved me. And I'm glad that when he saved me, he put something in my heart that's real. That I love him. I don't serve him like I ought to. I failed him so many times and it grieves my heart. But I'm glad he put love in my heart for people and a love for God. And anything that you and I do that doesn't, is not motivated because we love him or because we love others, it'd be burned up. It'd be like wood, hay, stubble when the fire falls. But that love would remain because faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest is charity, it's love. It'll abide forever. Thank God. When you get to heaven, you won't need faith. You'll see it. When you get to heaven, you won't need hope. But when you get to heaven, you'll love him then like you're not able to love him now because you'll have a brand new body. And you talk about how good you feel about how people love you here. Boy, you just wait till you get to heaven. And I'm going to tell you, it's 100% real, 100% genuine. And you will bask in the love of God and the love of the saints of God for all eternity because love will endure forever. Will you bow your heads in prayer this morning? More love in 24. Love him more. Love his people more. Love lost sinners more. Love the Word of God. Love the house of God. Serve him. While we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed this morning, I want to ask you a question. James, in talking about love, and faith, he talked about faith, but he talked about a faith that is not active, a faith that doesn't produce fruit, is not real faith. One of the great things that we know is this, that when we got saved, the Holy Ghost of God came in our heart crying, Abba, Father, and it said the love of Christ is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. Do you genuinely have a love for the Lord? Do you love church? Do you love the body of Christ? Do you have that in you? I'm not talking about just a natural sense of affection or just being a good guy, a good woman. But is there something inside of you that causes you to love him? Causes you to trust him? Causes you to want to serve him and love him? Do you love God? Do you love the church? I'm not asking you, how you cut your hair or what kind of clothes you wear or how often you go to church. I'm just telling you that I believe He's looking for that genuine love that's supposed to be shed abroad by the Holy Ghost in us. If we really know Him, it's there. Let's stand together with our heads bowed. I want to pray, and Brother Jeff's going to come, and we'll have an invitation here in just a moment. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for Your mercy and grace. God, thank You for Your love that's beyond explanation. No way I could even explain it this morning. The royal law of love, the governing principle upon all of our service, is the fact that we love You and that we love lost people. We love the church. None of that would be possible outside the fact that we love You because You first loved us. Blessed Holy Ghost of God, I pray that You'd help us to love more. Help us to love You more, to love our church family more, to love this community more, to love lost sinners more. Our Father, I pray that they would sense that Benson Grove Baptist Church loves them. We preach the Word of God true and straight. We don't condone sin. Sin is sin. But Lord, You loved us while we were yet sinners. And God, I pray that You'd help us to exhibit that love of Christ in our life. Now, friends, while we are praying and our dear sister's playing for us this morning, I wonder if God the Holy Ghost spoke to your heart in some way. Do you feel like your love may be a little cool? He said to that church in Ephesus that they were neither hot nor cold. Their love level had dropped. He accused the first church age of having left their first love. Do you need more of the Holy Ghost of God in you? Do you need more of His helping you grow in your love for the Lord? Have you been distracted? He admonishes us not only to love Him with all of our heart, mind, and soul, but to love not the world, neither things of the world. Sometimes we get our eyes on things. Sometimes we get distracted. Sometimes we're unfaithful to Him because of our love for other things. And I'm going to invite you this morning, my dear sister plays, if you'd like to come and ask God to rekindle the fire of love in your heart, that you'd love Him with all of your heart, mind, and soul. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never experienced that love and salvation. And you say, Brother Billy, I sure would love to be saved. I want to tell you, He loves you and He's made it possible for any person in this building or in the media audience to be saved. But what you must do is you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, turn from your sin and turn to the Savior. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I wonder this morning in this great crowd if there's a person here, man or woman, boy or girl, who says to me, Brother Billy, if I died right now, I wouldn't go to heaven. But I want to go. I want to know I'm saved. I thank God for His love and dying for me and wearing my crown. And preacher, please pray for me that I would be saved. Nobody's looking but me. I'm looking across the congregation. Would you raise your hand right up, right back down? I wonder this morning, are there some here who'd say, Brother Billy, I'll be honest with you. I'm not on fire like I used to be. Fire's not burning in my heart like it used to. And I want God to rekindle that fire in me. I want to be like those disciples on the road to Emmaus that let our hearts burn within us. And I want you to pray for me, church, if you'll do that in that regard. But if you're here and you say, Preacher, pray for me. I want my love to be more in 24. Would you raise your hand? Oh, yes, all across the congregation. Amen. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You now for Your mercy and grace. God, I pray, God, that people would obey You, that they do exactly what You want them to do right now. Lord, some around the altar already, I pray if there's others who need to come, I pray they'll come. And Lord, if there's somebody lost here, God, please save them for Jesus' sake.